of all of the churches that I ever served in, I think I feel the closest to this church right here. You all have such a marvelous faith. You all love the Lord with all of your heart. And that's as it should be. You know, the Bible doesn't talk a lot about New Year. But New Year is a time of renewal. It's a time of beginning again. It's a time of making some corrective. You know, when they sent men to the moon, they periodically would make corrective movements with the space shuttle and what have you. And I think that's what it should be. I'm going to try my very dead level best to share with you what I would call my recipe for beginning a new year. In fact, I've titled it Moving Forward in Faith. And the last time I was here, just before Thanksgiving, I spoke on the four types of faith. And really, of the four, saving faith is the one you really need. And I want to read out of Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting with the 25th verse. This is one of my favorite scriptures of all time, where it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." But here's my key verse that I love. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the time that we'll have together this morning. I praise you for your faithfulness. I just praise you for your grace and the way you love us and take care of us and provide for us. And Father, I just pray that we will be able to go into 2021 with a renewed heart. and a new way of looking at things and trusting you more by faith than we've ever had to do before. And we'll be very careful to give you the praise and the glory for everything. Amen. You know, I was reading recently the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, Ecclesiastes can be a discouraging book if all you read is the first 11 chapters and don't read the last chapter. Because those first 11 chapters of Ecclesiastes, all they do is Solomon writes down all of the things that he has done in order to provide joy and happiness in his life. And the conclusion that he comes with after everything that he names is it's all vanity. It's just not worth it. But then he gets to the 12th chapter, and the tone changes. Because you see, originally, when Solomon ascended to the throne of his father David upon David's death, God came to Solomon and said, "Ask whatever you would ask, and I'll grant it to you." And you remember what Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom, that he might rule in wisdom. And God commended him for this action. He said, "You could have asked for anything. Great money, great power, everything. But rather than that, you asked for wisdom." And he commended him for that act. And because he chose correctly, God added all the rest of the things that he could have asked for to him. And in the first 11 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, nothing has worked out right. In fact, it's a period of some 30 to 40 years from the time he ascended to the throne to when he wrote Ecclesiastes. And he had, like so many of us, he had had his ups and downs with God. And he had tried to take things into his own hands and provide for his own happiness and joy. And it just didn't work. So, in the first verse of Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon has decided that he has done something wrong over the previous years when he got away from God. And he writes this in the first verse. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come." And the difficult days will come. Marianne and I have been married now 60 years. If she allows me to live till July the 1st, we will celebrate 61 years. But I'll tell you what. When I was a child growing up in my home, I didn't worry about a lot. My folks provided for that. But when Marianne and I got married and we started raising our own family and working and trying to earn enough money to do the things that needed to be done, it's pressing. And apparently, Apparently, Solomon felt the same way. So the recipe that I want to give you for going into 2021 is this. There's 6 points. And the first one is to remember just what Solomon said in that first verse. Remember from whence you came. Remember God's grace and love and mercy upon your lives in previous years. And I'll tell you, 2020 has been a difficult year in many respects. Marianne received an email from, I think it was maybe one of her girlfriends out of high school. And basically it said, when I was a little girl, my mother said to me, if you don't behave, I'm going to slap you into next year. And she wanted to know if the option was still on the table. But here now, what Solomon says in the last two verses of the 12th chapter, which is the final chapter in Ecclesiastes, and it's this: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So as we go back and look at 2020, I would encourage you, because if you belong to God, here's one thing I can guarantee you. Whenever you get out of fellowship with God, he will remind you that you're out of fellowship. And when he does, the best thing in the world to do is go back a little further when you were in perfect harmony with God. And that's where you, as Solomon found, will be the happiest as God leads your life. And when we go back, you know, we all have times of remembrance of that need confession. Confession's good for the soul. And when we confess, we should repent. And that's the number two step. Repent. When we do something and we find out that God has not been pleased with something, we need to confess it and repent of it. Because it goes back to one of my favorite verses in that area of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'll tell you, that's one of the greatest places you'll ever hope to be, is when God's forgiveness comes into your life full force. I went through the first 30 years of my life trying to be the source of my own sufficiency. And for 30 years, I was frustrated until I came to realize that I needed God through the Holy Spirit to guide my life. So the first one was remember. The second one is repent. And the third one is to renew. Psalm 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. In other words, the important thing for people to live wisely and well with a sense of purpose. You know, Marianne and I read a couple of chapters, maybe three, every morning out of the Old Testament. In fact, we're starting, doing the Gideon prayer calendar. We started with Genesis again, and then we'll read a chapter out of the New Testament. And then we pray for the things that we are concerned about. And I say that to say this. When we seek God with all of our hearts, He will allow Himself to be found by us. And we need to live our every day. We need to live it in such a way as to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the one that can sustain us and hold us in the palm of His hand. Now, none of us know how many years we have on this earth. The Bible says 70. If we're real lucky, maybe 80. I keep telling everybody I'm in my 11th bonus year. And I'm going to be here till God finishes with me. And then I'm going to go be with Him. So we need to renew our commitment every day. In fact, every morning, I try to remember Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me read that to you. Because it's a beautiful thing to remember. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm not always successful, but I try every day to think of that verse of Scripture. Because it reminds me of what my purpose in life is. And that is to be found pleasing to God and to be honoring His name. So now we've covered remember. Looking back, repenting of those areas that God says, repent of. Renewing our commitment to Him. And number four is this. Resist. Flip Wilson. Many of you will remember, was a comedian back in the 50s and 60s. And his favorite expression was this: God made me do it. God made me do it. What? The devil made me do it. That's correct. Thank you, my dear. And I've got, see? The devil made me do it. That was his favorite expression. And I want you to know the devil doesn't make you do anything that you don't want to do. If you belong to Jesus Christ and he's your Lord and Savior, you don't have to succumb to the devil's wishes anywhere along the way. I just check and see if he was awake. And we go back to James 4:7 and 8a. And James comes to this conclusion. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that is exactly where we want to go through life. Trusting God and allowing him to draw near to each one of us. In fact, 1 Peter ...5:8 says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You know, there are bad things that happen to good people. And if you don't believe me, ask Job. He was a man that God found no fault in at all. We don't even know when the book of Job was written or who wrote it. But in the very last part of the book, after everything that has happened to him, first he loses all of his work animals. Next he loses all of his sheep herds. Next he loses all of his camels. And next he loses all of his children. Never once does Job curse God. His wife suggested to him strongly that he just curse God and die, but he refused to do it. In the latter part of the book, Job goes on to say, if God were to slay me, I would still trust him. I'm not sure that I have answers for all of the things that I have seen. But I know this for fact. God has a plan. And in the words of Elvin Dillard, God never says, oops. I sure didn't see that coming. God always has a plan, and his plan is always right. Even when I don't know why he did something, I still have to trust him. Always remember that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Okay, we've covered remember, looking back, repent, making amends for those errors in judgment that we had. We've renewed. We're now resisting, because I want you to know, Satan will devour you if he has the opportunity. There's nothing, he knows he cannot claim a Christian to hell, but he does know this, that he loves you. And he's going to always be with you. So after resisting, then rejoice. That's number five. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4 says. And then, as if he's talking to the people all the way to the back of the room, again I say, rejoice. Does Paul know what he's talking about? Well, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul and Silas have been arrested for casting a demon out of a little slave girl who had the spirit of divination, telling the future. And it cost her owners a lot of money. And they really got ticked. And so they had them arrested. Paul and Silas had been flogged and thrown into the innermost part of the prison. They were in stocks, so they couldn't move. And the jailer was told, they better be here tomorrow morning. And that night, a big earthquake came. The doors flew open. The stocks came undone. Because Paul and Silas, at midnight, were singing praises to God. They had just been beaten. Listen, and when you're thrown into a jail in Philippi, this is not like the Shawnee County or the Osage County jail. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have heat. They didn't have anything. You had to stay awake just to keep the rats from eating at your toes. It was not a pleasant place to be. But Paul and Silas were singing praises to God. And God honored him. And he caused an earthquake to throw the doors open, loosen their stocks. And the jailer, thinking that they had all escaped, drew his sword and was prepared to commit suicide. When Paul called out, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And the jailer, beyond a doubt, had heard them singing praises to God after being beaten and thrown into jail, into prison, and having their feet put into stocks. He couldn't believe that they were still there. And he came to him and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas led him to the Lord, led all of his family to the Lord. The jailer took them out and washed their wounds and bandaged them up and fed them a meal. When we are found honoring God with our lives, there's no limit to what God will do to encourage us, to help us, and to protect us. So number five was rejoice. Let me read them again. Remember, repent, renew, resist, and rejoice. And then there's one last one to do. And it's rest. Another one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 11, 28 and 29 and 30. Where it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When we have done those six items, I can personally guarantee you that 2021 will be a far better year than 2020. Even if it's not, God will still bless you. And he'll give you the rest you need. He will so bless you that it won't seem possible. I want to encourage you. You know, many of you I know personally. I think I was here. Eight and a half years, something like that. And I came to love this church. And I came to love so many of you. God wants nothing but the very best for you. And that's a fact. Says so, Jeremiah 29:11. If you will live for God, God will live for you to bless you. They're going to sing one last song. And I'm going to come down here. And I'm going to invite you to the prayer rail, both sides. I remember the times when we truly, truly would see people lined up seeking a more magnificent relationship with their Creator. Maybe some of you would still like to do that. I'm going to pray, and then Stan's going to lead us in some music, and Beth, and Debbie, and Michelle. And if you would like to start 2021 out on the best foot you can start it, I'd encourage you to come and just make your petition to God. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is essential to living a good life, a satisfying life. I'd love to pray with you. So stand with me. Let's have a word of prayer, and then stand, and Debbie and Beth and Michelle are going to lead us in a song. Father, thank you so much for the time that we've had together. We just ask you in Jesus' name to lead us, guide us, and direct us by your Spirit. And we'll be very careful to give you all the praise and the glory. My prayer, Father, is this, that 2021 is going to be a beautiful year for your people. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.